Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. And I'm a homeschool father of five. We're raising our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during the demise of Western civilization, during the demise and fall of Western civilization. Dave Buhner also in studio with me. And, friends, this is something we've been accused of from time to time, that we are people who use the figure of speech known as hyperbole from time to time. And, Dave, I think we've been accused of it a billion times.
Maybe a billion times, but, you know, in fairness, the people accusing us are some of the meanest, ugliest, soulless creatures in the planet, maybe even the universe.
Yeah, okay. Hyperbole. Is it a figure of speech, and when is it a figure of speech? And at some points, I think we got to ask, are we really hyperbolic? Are we really exaggerating things, especially as we deal with the trends, especially as we look at what is happening and how things are so vastly different than they were 150 years ago. The divorce rates are hundreds of times higher than they were back in 1858. For example, we have data from 1858, 26 divorces in Great Britain in 1858, and a few more divorces happening each year in the Great Britain today. Okay, when I say a few more, that would be an understatement. Okay, again, they're called figures of speech, and people don't understand figures of speech. Apparently, I haven't studied the English language and don't understand the importance and the importance of rhetoric and the importance of bringing some of these figures of speech to bear, because they are important. They hopefully arouse people's attention to issues that are of importance, relative importance. Now, a lot of people don't care that the abortion rate is, you know, 10,000 times greater than it was, say, 300 years ago, and the divorce rate is 200-300 times higher than it was in the 1800s, and that the illegitimacy rate is a good 100 times larger than it was in 1800. People just don't care that we've fallen off the cliff in terms of the shack-up rate, that is some 10 times what it was in 1970. They don't, okay, the rate's 10 times what it was in 1970. So what? So what that kids are born out of wedlock? So what that kids don't have dads? So what that our social systems are coming apart at the seams? You see, we're interested in these things because we believe that this is indicative of a society, a civilization that's under the judgment of God and is not going to survive at this rate. And that if birth implosions are happening at the rate that we're seeing, some 60 to 80 nations around the world birth imploding, especially the developed nations, that this is going to affect the worker-to-retiree ratio in 2050. See, we think that's an important thing. We think that a socioeconomic system imploding is important. Now, I understand that your average person, your average church, and your average pastor doesn't really care. I understand that. And I understand he doesn't bring these things out and use prophetic language and talk about how the judgment of God is affecting civilizations and societies. I understand that their pastors don't care. And they just want to kind of, you know, say peace, peace when there is no peace. But hopefully there are people out there saying, I'm thankful that there are guys throwing a flag on the play. Dave, I got a note this morning about our program concerning boys and pornography. Do you remember that? Pornography with boys is up, I mean, at least 100 times what it was a couple of generations ago. So we made an issue out of that. We said, hey, this is a problem. If 80% of boys are more or less hooked on pornography, such that they're doing it several times a month, several times a week, which is what we're reading, 80% of boys, that's 80%. That's 4 out of 5 boys. You know, walk into a church, walk into a Walmart, you look at 5 young boys, 4 out of 5 of them are hooked on pornography. Those guys are not going to make good marriage partners when they grow up, whenever that's going to be. And we made that point. Well, I got a note from a woman in New Zealand who was pretty upset that we made such a big deal out of this. Now, granted, we also said that there are those who are salvaged, that there are those who will be salvaged and will make it to the lifeboats as the Titanic hits the iceberg. We did say that there are some who will be exempted from this horrible, horrible thing, and there may be a few husbands for some young ladies out there. And we also made the point that we are doing our best to disciple young men in our shepherd centers and discipleship and mentorship, and we're trying to develop accountability systems, and we made all that point. But this woman's very upset that we're talking about this massive, massive increase in dysfunctionality of young boys who are going to be so addicted to pornography, they're going to be of really no use to wives in the years to come. And Dave, you know, I don't know, people are a little upset that we're using some hyperbole, but, you know, we're actually, in that case, not using hyperbole at all. We're actually saying, hey, there are 80% of boys who are regularly making use of pornography, and this we believe to be extremely destructive to the future of marriage in America. And anybody who wants to minimize that, Dave, anybody who wants to say, well, that's no big deal. That's no big deal. You know, as in the input I got from the radio audience this morning. Dave, my response to it is this woman doesn't have a clue. She doesn't understand why we're throwing a flag on the play, and she better wake up. She better assign a day of prayer and fasting for this, because it's probably affecting her friends, her family members, and her church members too.
Kevin, the rate is almost four times the rate of children, boys, who are on Ritalin.
Yeah.
And psychotropic drugs.
Than it was back, say, 20 years ago.
No, I'm saying four times as many boys are using porn as are using psychotropic drugs. Four times. Mm-hmm. That's alarming.
Yeah. That's huge.
Because only about
and there's a lot 20%. Of boys, and there's a lot of boys on psychotropic drugs. I think it's 20%.
Right? Yeah, 20%.
20% on psychotropics and 80% on porn. Okay, so how is that working out for you? How is society going to be salvaged in the year 2040? Somebody give me a plan here, okay? Somebody give me a plan. How are we going to get out of this outside of the grace of God and the supernatural, reformational, reviving work of the Spirit of God? Somebody give me a plan how we're going to get out of this. Okay, are we using hyperbole today? That's the question on this edition of the Generations broadcast.
Kevin, I don't know if it's hyperbole. What we're looking at is the fruit yes. of a society, a fruit of a civilization, and the fruit is rotten. It's lousy fruit. And now that doesn't mean that you can just grab the fruit off the tree and make the tree good. You can't. You have to change the nature of the tree. In other words, you got to change the root of the tree. And what the fruit is right now is we're seeing boys on pornography. We're seeing girls being trained to be independent. We're seeing the family break down. There is something fundamentally rotten about this tree, about this society, about this culture. And we're just pointing, saying, here's a bad piece of fruit, pornography. Here's a bad piece of fruit, girls who don't want to get married until they're 35 years old. Here's a bad piece of fruit, culture that's drugging boys up and not letting them grow up. Here's another piece, and we're just showing that this is bad fruit so that you will at least admit the tree is bad.
Yeah, yeah. The civilization, friends, is coming apart of this theme. Why? Because the philosophy, the truths that have not been taught, the philosophies that have been taught, and I've got a book called Apostate coming out talking about the philosophers, the literary giants, and of course the cultural giants that have contributed to the demise of Western civilization. And that's coming out in about 4 weeks. And I would encourage you to get to some of those things. We're talking about the rottenness of ideas. By their fruits ye shall know them. And Jesus is speaking of false prophets, false philosophers, false teachers that have wormed their way into the university system and gotten almost total control over our institutions and created a society where our civilizations are coming apart at the seams. And society will not survive, friends, when you've got 50% of kids born to women, 30 years of age, born out of wedlock. I'm sorry, but societies won't survive without fathers. I know they have the welfare systems. I know they have their public schools. I know they have their condoms. I know they have all of that. I understand what they have. But if they don't have fathers and mothers, and if you don't have an intact nuclear family, you're not going to survive, okay? And that is not hyperbole. And Dave, before we take a break, I mean, there are so many indications that our society is rotting out at the core. Here's another one that came to me from theweeklystandard.com just this morning. Planned Parenthood official argues for right to post-birth abortion, and they're getting more and more epistemologically self-conscious about the slaughtering of the innocents, the infanticide. I mean, this is the sort of thing, friends, we talk about our societies turning more and more pagan all the time. This is the kind of indication that this sort of thing is happening. The Planned Parenthood official apparently was in some kind of Florida legislature, and she is standing up and arguing as vociferously as possible for infanticide, okay? And here's an example of this sort of thing happening. I'm going to play it for you. They actually recorded it, and you got a picture of her here doing it. So this is by video. This is the Planned Parenthood official endorsing post-birth abortion. Here we go.
It's just really hard for me to even ask you this question because I'm almost in disbelief. If a baby is born on a table as a result of a botched abortion, what would Planned Parenthood want to have happen to that child that's struggling for life? You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, you know, we believe that, you know, any decision that's made should be left up to the woman, her family, and the physician.
Okay, there it is, Dave. She was arguing for post-birth abortions, and she, you know, this legislator couldn't believe it. Like, okay, so what you're saying is that you're okay with this baby dying. And she doubled down.
Well, Planned Parenthood defended her, said, yeah, she's right. You know, if they were trying to kill the baby and they failed, they can kill again.
Yeah. Dave, okay, Planned Parenthood is evil. Okay? Does everybody understand this? Now, we're not being hyperbolic right now. Planned Parenthood is just plain evil. Evil to the core. Okay? Everybody clear on this? Okay, we're not being hyperbolic here. They're becoming more and more epistemologically self-conscious about their evil. That is, she hardly blinked when she said, yeah, it's just a matter of they want that kid to die, die, kid, die. If that parent doesn't want that baby to live on that shelf at that hospital, that parent has the right to starve that child to death, take a chainsaw or a knife or a scalpel and tear the limbs off of that baby, or just put a bullet through its head. If that parent is sick of that two-year-old and considers that two-year-old to be unwanted, I mean, the kid is out of the womb. It's been an irritation to the parent for quite some time now. If that parent does not want that child, that parent has the right to murder that child. Okay, Planned Parenthood is being very, very, very honest with their position now. They're out of the closet. This has been their agenda, I know, for a long time. They're out of the closet now, and they are advocating the murder of babies outside of the womb. Does everybody understand this? Okay, not, this isn't hyperbole anymore. This is just us saying that there are evil people in the world, and we need to stand up against this. There ought to be pastors who stand up and say Planned Parenthood are just evil, and they ought to be eliminated. Okay, the civil magistrate should say these people have no right to have offices in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our country. Okay, that's the way righteous pastors need to preach, Dave. And I don't think there are a lot of righteous pastors preaching this kind of thing anymore.
What's shocking about the video clip is that it's not shocking. This was the position articulated by Senator Barack Obama. This is the position articulated by most liberals. They don't believe it's murder because you can only murder a person, and you're not granted personhood until liberals decide that you're a person. They don't have to be consistent. I mean, we see logical inconsistencies every day from the left. We see them trying to deport a homeschool family, contributors to society, because they're homeschool family, and at the same time embracing illegal aliens who are breaking the laws left and right. But that's okay because, as Jay Leno says, we don't call them illegal aliens anymore. We now call them unregistered Democrats. Mm-hmm. There is a inconsistency in this worldview, but it doesn't matter that it's inconsistent. Logic isn't driving this. Even emotion isn't driving this. An ideology is driving this. These people honestly believe in the heart level that they can create a utopia or closer to utopia. They can take us back to the Garden of Eden if only the serpent was in control.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are way, way down the track on some of these things. And that's why we bring these out. People sometimes wonder why we are bringing out examples of what the world is saying. The reason is because in the past, the world has cloaked their agenda somewhat, and we have tried to force them to come out and say, this is what we're really all about. Well, now we don't have to do that. They're coming out, and they are saying what they're about. They are about killing children. They're about infanticide. They are about killing as many children as they can possibly kill. And one of the reasons for that, of course, is they are committed to the Malthusian myth that there are too many people in the world, and the people to kill are those that are most helpless, typically elderly, and those babies who are caught in the womb and are unwanted, or those that are just born and unwanted. There are these people who are opposing God's ordinance of taking dominion and filling the earth, and God's law that requires that we protect human life. Thou shalt not murder. You'll find it in Exodus chapter 20. Those people who are dead opposed to what God has said, God's ethics, God's approach to life, God's dominion mandate, those people who say, no, 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 we're going to go with what Malthusian said. We're going to go with what Karl Marx says or Margaret Sanger. Those people who are humanists and have abandoned God's law will eventually become more and more epistemologically self-conscious, and they will bring forth some of the most horrendous things I think this world has ever seen. But it really ultimately relies on those pastors and those preachers and those righteous prophets of the day that are willing to stand up and say, this is just pure evil. Friends, we are in a battle between good and evil, between the righteous and the wicked, and this thing has existed ever since the seed of the woman opposed the seed of the serpent in the garden, and that opposition continues even to this day. And friends, I hope that there are others out there who are willing to take up this battle and engage this in the public forum. In just a moment, we'll be back with more on this issue of hyperbole. Where are we in the slide to Gomorrah in the Western world? I'm going to continue to ask that question in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Zoltz.
Every year, Generations with Vision sponsors a family economics conference somewhere in America. This year, we are sponsoring two conferences, one in Washington State and the other in St. Louis, Missouri. For families who want to reintegrate the family into a family economic vision, for families who want to find ways to mentor their sons and daughters into the family economy, this is just the conference for you. How do you choose the optimum business streams for your family? How do you integrate your children into the family economy? What about budgets and debt and capital investments? And what about inheritance and taking care of grandpa and grandma along the way? We'll have young entrepreneur panels, mom and daughter panels, farming panels, retail and e-commerce panels, audience surveys, and some great keynote speakers, including free-range farmer Joel Salatin, entrepreneur Eric Weir, and Kevin Swanson. Join us for our four-day mega conference in St. Louis or the two-day fall conference in Olympia, Washington. Register today at FamilyEconomics.com. That's FamilyEconomics.com.
Back on the Generations Radio broadcast, Kevin Swanson here. Sometimes, a lot of times, accused of hyperbole. Question is, are we really being hyperbolic? Now, granted, from time to time, we might miss a statistic. We might miss a tiny little data point. We have to come back and correct ourselves. That's because we're not God, okay? Not imperfect here, and I've corrected a thing or two on my blog and on this radio program over the years, and I reserve the right to do that because I'm not God, and I have maybe some gifts from God, but friends, I have to reserve the right to humble ourselves and say that we haven't always talked about these things correctly. But, Dave, when we are accused of being hyperbolic, you just showed me a graph from the internet. And it is a graph that I think is accurate according to all of the numbers I have seen over all of the studies that have been done over the last 20 to 30 years. And I've followed the illegitimacy rate for a long time. And Dave, when we say that single parenthood, that is illegitimacy, was back around 4% in 1940 and now it's up around 42%, that's an increase of an order of magnitude on the rate. And Dave, you just showed us that graph right there showing the illegitimacy rate in America is hyperbolic. That itself is hyperbolic. So we're not being hyperbolic when we say that the illegitimacy rate has increased significantly. Of course, our interpretive device is that this is an indication of the decline of fatherhood and therefore family and therefore civilization or society as we know it. And friends, we're saying that that's important. And when you have a society where 42% or now 50% for young ladies under 30 years of age, when you get an illegitimacy rate over 50%, you're looking at a dysfunctionality rate that has gone to the majority. That is, the majority of children will be dysfunctional. Now, again, there will be exceptions. There will be a minority that will find salvation in Jesus Christ. They'll find some regenerational work in them. They'll begin to repent. They'll have functional families themselves. But typically, dysfunctionality will breed more dysfunctionality, and we are in this vicious circle right now, Dave, and the next generation is not bound to be any more healthy than the last generation. The last generation was 10 times less healthy than the previous generation, 10 times less healthy than the generation coming out of the 1940s and 1950s. Friends, we're looking at a vicious circle that is destroying our society, okay? And we understand that the liberals are very, very happy about this. We understand Planned Parenthood is happy about it. We understand the universities are happy about it. We understand that the culture is happy about it because that's what we see in the sitcoms all the time. Just the presentation dysfunctionality and the joking around about dysfunctionality and so forth and so on. So our whole society has been programmed to accept this as functional, that dysfunctionality is functional. And they've been programmed by way of the sitcoms and the major media and the educational systems. This is the way things happen. You know, you just have to, live dysfunction. Okay, but what we're saying is dysfunctionality will unravel civilizations. Okay, so that's where we're heading on this one. Dave, that graph is hyperbolic. I mean, that's a hyperbole. That's
right.
That's asymptotic.
Yeah. What for the audience who's not following, Mr. Swanson, Kevin Swanson here is using a math term properly and using it in a grammatical sense. Now, in grammar, we talk about hyperbole, which is an exaggeration, but in math, it's an actual function in which we have a sudden rise or a nice slope. And this graph here, which is produced by the CDC, by the way.
I would say that's probably about a y equals x squared plus 0.2.
Yeah, you can do the 0.2 would be, of course, in 1940 what the rate was.
Right.
So 0.2 being that. So,
or actually, I'm sorry, 0.04 because it was 4% back in 1940. So
plus 0.4.
Somewhere around, y equals x squared plus 0.04. That would be the equation for that hyperbolic function.
And he's making a good pun here if you're a math geek. So, all you math geeks out there, laugh hard now.
Believe me, friends, these math geeks in studio are having a good time with this one. Okay.
But it is a sad state of affairs. It shows just how successful the attack on the family has been. Now, the attack on the family, the major thrust comes from feminism. Please, that does not mean from women. It means a school of thought that wants to take the family solidarity as the economic unit and break it into individual components, pitting men against women, really just pitting men against men and women against women, too, where every individual competes against every other individual. In that situation, being married is against the system. In other words, marriage itself is a kind of blasphemy against the independence. So they're thrilled that unmarried women are exercising their existential choice to have children or not to have children. They're thrilled that some women choose to kill their babies, and they're thrilled that some women choose to have babies. They're also thrilled that men get forced by the courts to pay for the babies when they have the babies, even if the men didn't want the babies. And if the men wanted the babies and the woman didn't want the babies, they still get to kill the babies. And so it's just a free-for-all.
It's a dysfunctional mess. It's a dysfunctional mess. This is what happens when you abandon God's law order, God's social order. This is what happens, okay? Things just fall apart at the seams. And friends, again, we're trying to chronicle the demise of Western civilization here. What does it look like? What does it look like when a civilization that is probably population-wise about 100 times the size of the Empire of Rome, what happens when its demise appears to be even worse than whatever was happening in Rome in 475 AD? What happens to a society when an entire civilization unravels? This is what it looks like. Now, again, are we engaging in hyperbole? Well, Dave, there are others, thankfully. We're not the only ones. Okay, thankfully, there are others that are concerned and are bringing out some of these things. And I'm thankful there are these guys. Here's the Liberty Council guy, Matt Barber, who's very, very concerned. He's vice president for Liberty Council out in the East Coast, and it's a pro-family organization. And this article, I think an opinion piece in Charisma magazine. It just starts out, and this is the title: "Gay Marriage Will Destroy America as We Know It." Dave, what do you think your average liberal? What do you think if your average New York Times editor saw something like that? Well, he just laugh when he says, Just hyperbole. Oh, man, that's the last thing in the world that will ever happen to America. You know, that would be the response of the average liberal professor in the university, some liberal editor of your average newspaper in America would look at that and, oh, man, that guy's overstating the case. You know, where you have some 60% of Americans now who have bought the lie. Americans are doing the lemming thing, and they're picking up on the whole gay marriage, and this is the kind of the cool thing. If you don't go for gay marriage, you're not cool anymore. And Dave, did you notice another Republican senator bought it? I think an Illinois Republican senator bought the gay marriage thing, so we got more Republicans going for it right and left. Why? Because this is the way the zeitgeist is blowing. This is the spirit of the age. And so, but now you have an occasional weird prophet eating grasshoppers standing out in the middle of Times Square in bare feet holding up a sign, the end of America as we know it. That's the way Matt Barber is perceived, right?
Right.
He's the weirdo. Right. He's the guy in the dreadlocks eating the grasshoppers down on Times Square and ripping up his clothes and screaming, it's the end of America as we know it.
I think there's confusion here. Some people are thinking that we're saying that gay marriage will be the cause of the end of America. That's not what's being said. It is a signpost. We are now passing the point where the water goes over the waterfalls. Now, we've been heading that direction for a long time. We've been destroying the family with legal decisions, with a social culture, with movies and television and the way we live. Marriage was destroyed a long time ago with no-fault divorce and serial marriages. This is just the last, you know, this is the last exit on the highway. And we passed it, and we're going over the waterfalls. And it's the signpost.
That's pretty much what Matt Barber says in this article in Charisma Magazine. Gay marriage will destroy America as we know it. That our nation has fallen so far, so fast, in its embrace of empty relativism that makes the head swim, he says. It's at once perplexing and heartbreaking that we have a U.S. Supreme Court seriously considering inventing a newfangled right to that chicane aberration tag same-sex marriage. This is true particularly when one considers that the defining behaviors central to gay marriage were for hundreds of years and for obvious reasons legally and properly classified as crimes against nature. On and on and on it goes. Okay, so that's Matt Barber, and he's saying in history, you know, for like 6,000 years, nations have understood the danger of this kind of thing. Even Augustus Caesar, who's probably the most powerful, most important, most fundamental, and I think the very, very first of the Caesars, he actually outlawed adultery, and he was frowned on homosexuality, and he even exiled Ovid to an island out in the middle of nowhere so that he would not publish his pro-adultery, pro-homosexual stuff. And of course, Ovid was the most edgy of the early Roman writers, and he was exiled because Augustus did not want that contaminating the people of Rome at that time. Of course, as far as we're concerned, you know, friends, there is nothing holding back on the pro-homosexual, pro-adulterous, pro-fornication stuff that is now being taught in public schools everywhere. When you've got K-6 schools and some of the more conservative little preschools and elementary schools in Colorado with GLSEN signs prominently displayed in cafeterias of these K-6 schools in Colorado, you gotta assume that the future generation is going to be rooted and grounded in a pro-homosexual ideology. Friends, your average parent may not be aware of this, but they have to understand. These 90% of American parents that send their kids to these K-6 schools need to understand that their children are being carefully indoctrinated in pro-sodomy literature and posters and everything else. And that will happen for 18 years out of their lives, and they will be invited into the pro-sodomy way of life. And many, many, many of these children will become sodomites. They will sodomize each other in the years to come. I think parents just have to say, I know this is happening. I'm sending my kids to K-6 schools with GLSEN signs all over the place and with pro-homosexual ideologies that will be taught over the next 12 years, and I agree with that. I want my children to become sodomites. I think these parents need to sign up to the fact that they are going to Sodom and going to Gomorrah, and their kids will become Gomorrahites and sodomites in the years to come. These parents, these 90% of parents, many evangelical parents, that send their kids to these public schools where the GLSEN signs right now are being posted in cafeterias and in the gyms in these public schools, their kids will become sodomites, and the 90% need to step up to the microphone and say, I am okay with that. I am on board. I am 100% on board to this pro-sodomy indoctrination that is going to happen in the public schools over 12 years or 16 years or 18 years of my kid's life. Dave, I think it's time for pastors to stand up in pulpits and say that. And they're not. That bothers me.
It's the public schools. It's television, especially the cable television, MTV and the sitcoms and the movies. But it's also politics. I mean, right now, you're going to see the gay lesbian signs in the grand old party headquarters. So this is coming. Everybody wants to avoid being scorned. They want the label of respectability. Well, forget respectability. What you want to hear is well done, good and faithful servant. And you do that by following the law of God.
Okay, friends, there's a way not to go the way down into Gomorrah, and that is to get out, to opt out. Get your kids out, okay? And to give them something radically different than what's going on in our society right now. I mean radically different. You better be radically different and repent of whatever they're doing and do something different in the education of your children. All right, my friends. You can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also get some of our resources at our website, generationswithvision.com. We encourage you to get our family Bible study guides. That's radical. If you sit down next to your kids and read the Word of God and bring out some application and pray together, friends, that will be a radical difference. And you will see a radical difference in your children if you do that on a daily basis. That's why we put together our family Bible study guides. And they are available at our website, kevinswanson.com. We've got them on Matthew. We've got them on Genesis. We've got them on Proverbs and Psalms. We got some basic Bible study guides that will equip your children and hopefully root and ground them in the Christian faith. And I encourage you to do that every single day as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you light it. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.